We begin as always in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, the sublime, the King of kings and the creator of all things. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles out for guidance, none can lead astray. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to leave astray, none can guide. And I testify and bear witness that there is none worthy of worship in all of existence except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his final prophet and messenger. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His finest peace and blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his wives and his family members and his companions, and all those who choose to follow his footsteps until the day of judgment, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to extend his favor and blessing upon us, as he's done over and over again in our lives, and include us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly extended his favor on us over and over, and we praise him for that. And we thank him for that. And we acknowledge the fact that the blessings that we recognize and are able to see and count are only a fraction of the reality, which is that he has surrounded us by blessing and favor, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of the many blessings is that he has brought us here. Not just to another holy season, not just to another opportunity to worship him, to come closer, but here into the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life and health and well-being and interest in being here. And that is a blessing. Because from the previous holy season, from just the Hajj season that has passed a few days ago, or Ramadan a few months ago, there are people who are not here to witness this coming season, but we are. There are people who are alive, but they are not healthy. They are not able to perform acts of worship. There are people who are alive and are healthy and are able to perform acts of worship, and they are here in this holy season of Muharram, this holy month, but they are not interested. So we pray and we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that He has made us healthy and able and present in this holy season, to guide our hearts and to make us interested and willing and encouraged and enthusiastic to worship Him. Allahumma ameen. Because as we were discussing last week, this is the holy month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Muharram, the first month of the Hijri calendar, the new year 1444 since the Hijra of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we spoke about last week. And you should consider making resolutions. You know how every new year they say new year resolutions, commitments, ideas, concepts that people are passionate about maybe for a week or two or a month or two. But the idea here is that you reevaluate and reconsider your worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pledge to do more, pledge to do better. The beginning of the year is a good time for that, because it is a event in which we turn over a new leaf. We look at things in a new perspective. When you have a business, when you have files for any type of work or project, you arrange them very often by year. A new year, a new project, a new outlook, new opportunities. We should consider that now as we come to the Hijri New Year. And the focus should be in our approach and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As always, the binding material that makes the rest of life make sense, that makes the rest of life fall in order, be beneficial, be successful. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to begin the new year refocusing and reevaluating these concepts. One of the wisdoms that the scholars have said that He made the first month of the year a holy month. That the first month of the year is a holy month, a sacred month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ شُهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِثْنَا عَشْرَ شَهْرًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, intending, willing for it to be 12 months. This was the time that He chose for us to count the days and the months and the years. مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. Of those 12 months, four of them are sacred. Muharram, Dhul Hijjah, Dhul Qa'dah, and Rajab. Four sacred months that have special rulings. Increase in good, decrease in evil. Evil is especially evil in these months. The punishment is increased for violating not just the sanctity of the action, but the sanctity of the month. And the good deeds are rewarded extra Because it is a special time, a special opportunity in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَسَنَا إِثْنَ عَشَرَ شَهْرًا مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ ثَلَاثَةٌ مُتَوَالِيَاتٌ ذُو الْقِعْدَةِ وَذُو الْحِجَّةِ وَمُحَرَّمٌ وَرَجَبُ مُضَرٌّ الَّذِي بَيْنَ جُمَادَةَ وَشَعْبَانَ. That the month, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is 12. The year is 12 months. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Of them are four sacred months, three in a row, which are ذُو الْحِجَّةِ ذُو الْقِعْدَةِ ذُو الْحِجَّةِ وَمُحَرَّمٌ, and then one on its own, which is Rajab, between Jumada and Sha'ban. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically made the last month and the first month of the year holy months for us to wake up and reevaluate. He says, rahimahullah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَتْحَ السَّنَةَ بِشَهْرٍ حَرَامٍ وَخَتَمَهَا بِشَهْرٍ حَرَامٍ فَلَيْسَ شَهْرٌ فِي السَّنَةَ بَعْدَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ أَعْظَمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to end the year with a holy month and begin it with a holy month, and there is no month that is more sacred with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Ramadan than the month of Muharram. And Ibn Rajab, he says, مَنْ صَامَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ وَصَامَ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ فَقَدْ خَتَمَ السَّنَةَ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَافْتَتَحَهَا بِطَاعَةِ فَيُرْجَى أَنْ يُكْتَبْ لَهُ سَنَةَ كُلَّهَا طَاعَةً فَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ أَوَّلَ عَمَلِهِ طَاعَةً وَآخِرُهُ طَاعَةً فَهُوَ فِي حُكْمٍ اسْتَغْرَقَ بِالطَّاعَةِ مَا بَيْنَ الْعَمَلَيْنِ. Ibn Rajab, he says that by fasting some of Dhul Hijjah and performing acts of worship therein, which is the last month of the year, and then beginning the new year with another act of worship, which is fasting as well, which is recommended in all of Muharram, and especially the 10th day, as we'll come to. When a person does that, then it's as if they are making their entire year worship and obedience. Because when you begin, when the beginning is worship and the end is worship, then it's as if its entirety is worship. It's as if you're worshiping in its entirety. The first thing you did of the year was worship, and the last thing you did was focus on worship, then it's as if everything in the middle would be considered worship as well. It is hoped, it is expected, he says, that is how this person will be looked at. That is what this person will achieve by aiming to worship in the beginning and the end of the year. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remind ourselves, this is how my life begins and this is how my life ends. This is what I'm doing all the time. This is my focus. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Muharram, is a huge opportunity for that. And one of the main themes of Muharram that could be your resolution, that I want to make my resolution for this year, 1444, is to be an agent of justice. Don't be an oppressor. And I'm not making this my resolution or my goal for 1444 because it is popular to speak about justice, or that it is something that will propel me forward for popularity or for fame, to be woke, to be accepted. But this is a central theme that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over and over in the Quran, the concept of oppression and justice, juxtaposed with one another constantly for us to see the difference, to consider our own lives and how we implement these lessons. And that is why the highlight of the month is the 10th day, which will be, inshallah, Monday. The highlight of the month Muharram, this holy month that begins the year, that was meant to be a reminder for us, that we're seeking to make resolutions in. One of the main themes and the focus is the 10th day, the day of Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam, from Fir'aun, and ended his tyranny, ended his oppression, and gave victory and salvation to Bani Israel. So don't be an oppressor. Be an agent of justice. The hadith tells us the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Medina and he found the Jews were fasting. The Jews that lived there were fasting. So he asked them, why do you fast this day? And they said, this is a day of victory, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam and the children of Israel, Bani Israel, from Fir'aun. And so he fasted in gratitude, and likewise we fast in gratitude. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have a bigger priority to Musa alayhi salam than you, because we're actually following his teachings. We're seeking to follow his example, or we should be. We didn't change any of his revelation. It is exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended it. So that gives us a closer connection to him, a bigger priority over him. And so the Prophet ﷺ fasted and taught everyone to fast. You know, there's many narrations that the Sahaba would encourage even their children to fast. And as Maghrib neared and began to, you know, complain, as children often do, they would give them toys and distractions just to make it an entire family, entire community thing that we worship and we fast Muharram, the 10th day of Muharram, together. And there's another narration that tells us that it was mandatory before Ramadan. It was the original obligatory fast. And then Ramadan was mandated after they came to Medina by a couple of years. Then the fasting of the 10th day of Muharram was made a sunnah and Ramadan became the obligation. So it's a special day that we were encouraged to mark with gratitude and worship. And the reason being the salvation of Musa alayhi salam from oppression and injustice. And this is the theme of the month of Muharram. This is the theme of the story of Musa alayhi salam, the end of the tyranny and the oppression. And I just want to focus on two quick messages from the ayat that tell us the specific story. And it is the most repeated story in the entire Quran. As you well know, the story of Musa alayhi salam. And the first set of ayat are a message to the oppressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the oppressed to know something very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Your dua has a special connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ told us. It will not be left unaided even if the answer comes after centuries or generations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the oppressed to know that the circumstances are guaranteed to be in your favor if you simply hold on and be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants the oppressed to know that the difficulties that they endure, the difficulties that you go through because of oppression, because of injustice, they will be your badge of honor tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. That victory and relief are around the corner. In fact, they're part of that same process of suffering and patience, as the Prophet ﷺ told us again. All these meanings are from the ayat and the hadith that tell us this side of the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us the conversation that highlights this feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَأَلِهَتَكَ قَالَ سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recounting to us the story of the oppression of Bani Israel. How the people of Fir'aun, they came to him and they told him that, will you leave Musa alayhi salam and his followers to abandon you, abandon your forefathers and your religion and your worship? And he said, we will subjugate them under intense oppression. We will kill their male children and leave alive their female children, as you know, in alternating years, to decimate their numbers, to break their resolve, to ensure that none will rise up amongst them. And we are over them. We will be completely subjugating every single one of them. This was the announcement that Fir'aun made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Musa alayhi salam said to his people, be patient, seek aid with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's your lifeline. He is the lifeline of the oppressed. He is able over all things. Seek aid with Him and be patient. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will inherit it. He will inherit it to whom He wills. Today belongs to Fir'aun. Tomorrow it can easily belong to you. This was the message Musa alayhi salam was giving them. And the best of outcomes is exclusively for the righteous. It doesn't matter what it appears to be right now. The positive outcome, the success, the salvation, the well-being, in the end, is exclusively for the righteous. قَالُوا أُوْتِيْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ جِئْتَنَا قَالَ عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. They said, we've been harmed before you came and after you. Before you came as a prophet and challenged Fir'aun, we were being harmed. He was subjugating us, killing us, decimating us, imprisoning us and enslaving us. And now we've been harmed after you came as well. You came to save us, but now he's chasing us and we're being further subjugated. Now you're antagonizing him. What's the difference? This was their attitude at the moment. They were defeated. They were downtrodden. They were oppressed for generations. They were pessimistic. They told Musa, what has changed since you came? Oppression before, oppression after. But Musa alayhi salam told them, perhaps soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory. It's right around the corner. Why are you talking like this? Why do you have this attitude? Why are you defeating yourself? Perhaps very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory and grant you succession in the land, and then observe how you will act. Because a lot of people, they say, if it wasn't for the oppression, if it wasn't for the difficulty, if we were in charge, if I had the command, if I was able to call the shots, I would do so much better. I would lift all of this oppression. There wouldn't be an ounce of oppression in my home or my business or my community or the ummah. But Musa is telling them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the leadership. He will allow you to call the shots. Then he'll see what you will do. And we know that Bani Israel fell into oppression thereafter amongst themselves. So the oppressed need to have the proper mindset. They need to recognize who calls the shots, who is in charge, and that he's able to turn things around in an instant. So we should act accordingly. Now to the oppressed. Another set of ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now addressing the oppressor rather. This first message was to the oppressed, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the oppressor. He says in the story in Surah Hud, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا سُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ فَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَا أَمْرُ بِفِرْعَوْنَ وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. We have certainly sent Musa alayhi salam with our signs and a clear authority to Fir'aun and his people, his society, but they followed the command of Fir'aun, and the command of Fir'aun was not at all discerning. It was not something that is leading them to the truth or leading them to righteousness. They were oppressors. They chose the wrong path. Despite the clear signs and authority coming to them from the revelation, from their prophet, they chose to be oppressors instead. So what is the result of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَقْدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْوِرْدُ الْمَوْرُودِ. He will lead his people. He will precede them on the day of resurrection, leading them to the fire. And what a wretched place to be led. He chose to take command and they followed. So likewise on the day of judgment, he will take command and they will follow. But this time it will be to the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. وَأُطْبِعُوا فِي هَذِهِ لَعْنَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِئْسَ الرِّفْتُ الْمَرْفُودِ. And they will follow in this world with curse and the day of resurrection. And wretched is what they have been given. That they bring curse for generations amongst different religions, in different traditions, as we remember their oppression, as we remember what they stood for, as we remember what they did to other people. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْقُرَى نَقُصُّهَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْهَا قَائِمٌ وَحَصِيدٌ. That is from the news of the previous cities which we relate to you. Some of them still standing and some of them mowed down as if a harvest. Some of these people, we see the remnants and the result of their oppression. Their cities are ghost towns, monuments, ancient relics of what they used to have and used to do. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And we did not oppress them. They oppressed themselves. Because when you oppress others, the first victim is you. What you do to your own heart, what you do to your own situation, what you do to your own well-being in this world and hereafter. You're sinning against yourself first and foremost before the harm spreads to others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we didn't oppress them, they oppressed themselves. And their false deities had no ability to help them because they were not real. And then finally, the warning, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٍ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ لَهُ النَّاسِ وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَشْهُودٌ. And thus is the seizure of your Lord when he seizes the evil cities as they are oppressing. This story, this end of Fir'aun, where the Prophet ﷺ says, I wish you could see him as Jibreel ﷺ was stuffing the mud from underneath the sea into his face just so he doesn't make tawbah at the last minute. You don't deserve it. So Jibreel ﷺ, he knew that if he makes tawbah at the last minute, Allah would accept it. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Even Fir'aun, from how Jibreel ﷺ, the head of the angels, understood the mercy of Allah that it could potentially reach him. But he didn't want it to, so he physically prevented him. Thus is the seizure of your Lord when he seizes the cities as they are committing oppression. Indeed, his seizure is taking is painful and severe. And then finally, indeed, this is a sign for those who fear the punishment of the hereafter. This is a day that the people are promised, and this is a day in which they will be collected and it will be witnessed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not raise us on the side of the oppressor. May Allah allow us to rid our lives of any shape, form, or type of oppression. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, number one, be an agent of justice. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you see evil, you change it with your hands. If you're unable with your tongue, if you're unable with your heart, meaning you hate it, you despise it, you don't accept it, and that is the weakest of faith. The Muslim is an agent of change. Any opportunity that presents itself could be on a small scale, like sharing post, or just having discussion with someone who's unaware. And maybe in the future, Allah will give you a bigger scale, an opportunity to raise funds, to build some kind of relief to people who are suffering from oppression. Or and then in the nearer future or sometime after that, maybe Allah will make you directly an agent of change, a leader of communities who calls the shots, who's able to make major decisions on a community or country level even. We don't know who amongst us will be given that test, given the opportunity. But if you reach that station, be an agent of justice. Implement the justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you. And if you're unable to, the Prophet ﷺ, in a lengthy hadith, people were asking him, what's the best kind of good? He said, do this. And if I can't, then he said, do that. If I can't. And people kept saying, what is less than that? If someone's unable, and finally he said, if you're unable to do any categories of good, then the least you can do is save people from evil. If you can't present any good to others, the least you can do is make sure no harm is reaching them from your end. So if you can't be an agent of justice and change, don't be an oppressor. It's not just people who run countries in your home. To the fathers, to the husbands, to the managers, to the leaders, to the teachers, to anyone in any type of authority, don't be an oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the oppression, the darkness that you bring into other people's lives surrounds you on the day of judgment if you're an oppressor. May Allah protect all of us. Go out of your way to be an agent of justice. Go out of your way to make sure no harm reaches others from your end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a month of victory for the Muslim Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts the strength and the tawfiq and the sincerity to be agents of justice and to not allow us to be oppressors in any way, shape, or form.